The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we move on into the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we come to a man named Abraham. Abraham is often called the father of the faithful, and it's because throughout most of his life he obeyed God without questioning. In today's sermon, we begin to look at this faith that does not question, but rather obeys. How wonderful would it be if we too could possess such faith? Join us today for this message, but first we have a song selection that we hope will be uplifting to you.
And I'll know Him as I know. with me over to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We're going to continue on our study in the book of Hebrews tonight. You may recall that we have begun this great Hall of Faith chapter. This is about the third or fourth message that we preached out of it. We've seen what faith is. Faith is defined for us in this very chapter as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The idea being here that faith is something. It's not nothing. Faith is something. It's something of substance. It's something that provides evidence to us of truths that we cannot see as yet. It's that faith that we have hope in, or not in our own faith, but our faith in Christ gives us hope. Our faith that He did complete the work on Calvary and that He will one day come and get us, that gives us hope to make it through the difficulties of life. We've just had a time of prayer requests, and there are problems. There are many requests on our prayer request list. Some of those requests have to do with people who are approaching the end of their lives. And unless the Lord does intervene, the situation will end in death. And for those who dwell on this earth here, this ball of dirt that only has physical being and we cannot see the spiritual things, if that's all we look at, then we would be very miserable. In fact, Paul says that to the Corinthians in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if in this life only I have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And that would be a miserable existence. But what faith does is it teaches us that there are things not seen as of yet that are better than the things that we see. And then he goes on here, the writer of Hebrews, and gives us examples of faith that might encourage us in our daily walk. We saw last time that there was a man named Abel and a man named Enoch. And Abel and Enoch were faithful men who served the Lord and served Him through faith. We're told that it's only through faith that we're able to please God. Verse 6 said, without faith it's impossible to please Him. We read about Noah, who in faith prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And we saw how that compares to the things that we can do today to save our house, not eternally, but in a timely sense here and now. And that brings us to verse 8. And I want us to read several verses tonight. We will not get to all of them because we just don't have time. But I want us to look at this next section about Abraham, Sarah, and Abraham and Isaac. And in these passages, we learn about a faith that obeys God. A faith that obeys. In fact, faith should lead us to obedience in God. And so looking at Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac, we see the examples of faith in action. Begin reading in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of her of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. That's a lot of reading tonight, but we're not going to get to all of it. But I just want to give us a preview of what this is going to tell us. Because all of these characters in the Hall of Faith are teaching us something about faith. They're giving us an example, if nothing else, of how we ought to live in faith. And what we see here in Abraham in verses 8 through verse 10 is a faith that obeys without questioning. We're not told that I'm sure he had some doubts in his mind, but we're not told anywhere in Scripture that Abraham questioned what God told him to do when he said, come out of Ur of the Chaldees and go into the land of Canaan. Then in verses 11 and 12, we read about Sarah, who had a faith that obeyed after questioning God. You know, I've taken some comfort in Sarah because there's been many times that when God has told me to do something or led me to do something, I've questioned Him. But then I find comfort in the fact that just because we question God doesn't mean God throws us away. We are able to repent and we are able to come back and to do what He said for us to do. And then ultimately we see in Abraham and Isaac, the story there of Abraham and Isaac, a faith that obeys in the midst of questions. There's no doubt in my mind that Abraham and Isaac himself had questions about what was going on, but he obeyed God anyway. So let's talk about this kind of faith, this faith that obeys God. First of all, we see Abraham here, and beginning in verse 8, obeying God without questioning. Now, I want you to notice what he's talking about. He says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, I don't know about you, but if God called me to pick up and move somewhere that I didn't know where I was going, I didn't know where it was, I didn't know how far it was, I didn't know exactly the path to get there, I'd be questioning a little bit. I'd be saying, hey, time out, Lord. And we see, no doubt Abraham did that, but we're not told about, what we're told that he did is he picked up and he moved. And I want you to see where he came from first. You might hold your finger there in Hebrews because we're going to turn back over to Genesis chapter 11 for just a second and just get the background on Abraham. In Genesis chapter 11, we're told at the end of this genealogy leading us from Shem down to Terah, who was Abraham's father. We begin reading in verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Now Terah was Abraham's father. By the way, just for context here, Adam was Abraham's 17th great-grandfather. Noah was his 8th great-grandfather, and Shem was his 7th great-grandfather. And if you look at the genealogies and the time frames there of when they lived, Shem was still alive during Abraham's day. Shem was still living. He didn't die. He had not died before Abraham died. Shem was alive during Abraham's lifetime. But he says, Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren and had no child. Now look at verse 31. And Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran his son's son and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Now this kind of gives us an introduction to what's going on in Abram's life. Is the first view we have of Abraham, as of course his name was Abram at the time, and I'm just going to call him Abraham because it's easier. But you understand that later on God changed his name. But our message isn't about that. Abraham, when we first see him, was dwelling in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. And the place where he came from, he did not come to God from a holy land. He did not come from God. He did not come to God from a land that was known for serving God. In fact, let's just keep your finger there. Turn over to Acts chapter 7, and we'll see in a sermon, the only sermon that we know of that Stephen preached, that in chapter 7 and verse 2, he gives us a little more background about Abraham. He says in verse 2, "Men and brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan," which is the same word as Haran. When you see that CH there, there was no equivalent to the H in Greek. So they had to substitute a different letter for that. That's not a misprint. That's just a difference in the language. So he said, "Before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee." There was a time when God said, "Get out of Ur of the Chaldees." He was living in Mesopotamia. That is the land between the rivers over there that we would call Iraq and Iran today. That's where Abraham was. That's where Ur of the Chaldees was. And God appeared to him. He didn't come to God from a holy land. He didn't come to God from a holy life. God came to him. God went to him and called him. See, Abraham didn't get up one morning and say, "You know, I just don't like living down here between the rivers. There's a lot of floods all the time, and they're sporadic, and we don't know, so I think I'm going to move somewhere." He didn't do that. He was satisfied, as far as we know, over there. In fact, I know we're jumping around, but over in the book of Judges, the 24th chapter, we read a little bit more about him and about his situation. See, he didn't come to God from a holy land, and he did not come to God as a holy man. Over in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, Joshua, we're told, gathered all the tribes of Israel together, and then he said in verse 2, "Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." Abram didn't come to God as a holy man. Now you might think, in the way the world looks at it, that the man God would call to found the nation that he would place his name in would be a very holy and righteous, orthodox worshiper of God, wouldn't you? You would think God would have to look around and say, "Well, you know, he's not quite good enough, and this one's not quite good enough, but old Abraham over here is doing things just right, so I'll choose him." That's not what happened. And I got news for you, child of God. We who believe in election and that God chose his people before the foundation of the world, that's not what happened in our case either. We didn't get good enough. God didn't look down through time and say, "Well, you know, old Chris is going to live a pretty good life. He's going to make the right decisions. He's going to accept me. He's going to give my heart to me. Therefore, I'm going to choose him." That's what most people today explain election as. Most people believe the doctrine of election means that God looked down through time and saw whether you would choose him or not. And if you would choose him, then he would choose you. Beloved, that's not what the Bible teaches. And thank God it's not, because, you know, he did look down through time. The 14th chapter of the Psalm says he looked down upon the children of men to see if there were any that did seek him. You know what he said about them? He said, "They've all gone out of the way. There's none that seeks God. There's none that would choose." Do you know that if left to ourselves, child of God, we would never choose to serve him. In fact, we would go the opposite way. That's what we still do in our human nature, that Adam man that's inside us. But God didn't wait for us to get good enough to choose us. He chose us because he loved us. I don't know why he loved us. I can't explain why he loves us, but I'm thankful he did. Abraham did not come to God as a holy man. We're told, Joshua just told us, he said, they served other gods. He was a pagan man in a pagan land, worshiping pagan idols. And by the way, if you keep searching out his life, you're going to find that even after he responded to God's call, he rendered God incomplete service. If you'll notice, God said, "Get thee away from thy family," but he took his family with him. He took Terah, his father. And in fact, that's another message altogether, but if you'll notice, they didn't go all the way to Canaan. When they left Ur, he left Ur of the Chaldees back over in Genesis chapter 11. And we just read verse 31. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, and Sarah, and, you know, and his family there. And they went forth from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. But notice, they came unto Haran and dwelt there. That's roughly halfway between where they came, they were left leaving from, and where they were going to. And they got halfway. There's a great lesson there about halfway serving God. If you're not careful, if you're halfway serving God, you'll get stuck halfway in the kingdom of God. You know, I know people today that have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. I know we all have that in some ways, but there are those that just hover around the edges of the kingdom of God, halfway there, but they haven't fully committed. But see, Abram, where he came from was not a godly place. It wasn't a holy place, and he wasn't a holy man. But God came to him with a holy calling. Remember what we read in Acts 7. Notice what he got in Genesis chapter 2. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And by the way, verse 3 of Genesis 12 teaches us something very important. He says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That little innocuous statement there, that little statement that sometimes is overlooked, we're told by Paul in the Galatian letter, chapter 3 and verse 8, that that was the gospel message being preached to Abraham. He said, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Read Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 sometime. He said, this was the gospel preached to Abraham. You know, it wasn't because Abraham was a good man. It wasn't because he came from a good land. It's because one of his seed would be the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why all the nations of the earth would be blessed in Abraham, because his seed, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, ultimately the seed of Judah, the line of the tribe of Judah would be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So going back over now to Hebrews, we've seen where he came from. Let's look at where he was going. Let's just say we were living in that day and we saw Brother Abraham packing up over in Ur. He was our neighbor, and we moseyed on across the picket fence there to talk to him and said, Brother Abram, where are you headed? Where are you going? I can see you packing up all your stuff. I can see you're moving to somewhere else to live. Where are you going? You know what his response would be? I have no idea. I don't know where I'm going. Now, he had a name. He had a name of a land, but this isn't the days of the internet, okay? This isn't a day when you can Google Canaan, okay? God said, I want you to leave here. I want you to go to Canaan. You know, today we'd be getting on Google or Facebook or something like that, and we'd be looking it up, right? They didn't have that back then. At best, Canaan was they had a vague notion where Canaan might be geographically located. But it says here in verse 8, he says, he obeyed and he went out not knowing whither he went. Abram did not know what exactly was going on here, exactly where he was going. But here's what he teaches us in his faith. When God calls you, go. You don't have to worry about the details. You know, there's a statement out there that's not in the scripture, but it sure is a truth, and it's really a scriptural truth. You've heard the saying, the devil is in the details. The devil's in the details. Do you know that's exactly right in your spiritual walk with God? The devil is in the details. I can point you to many situations in my own life where I felt a leading of God to go somewhere or to do something. And then when I sat down, now look, he tells us to count the costs. Yeah, you sit down and you don't just blindly go off, you know, and running out into the wilderness with no idea of anything that you're doing. But when God calls, he doesn't call you in a general, non-specific way. He will lead you, and he will lead you to that first step of faith. Notice what he said here. He said, Abraham, I want you to get up and leave and go to Canaan, okay? He knew God was clear on what he needed to do. He didn't tell him exactly how long it would take. He didn't tell him exactly where it was. He didn't tell him exactly how many years or months or years it would take to get there. But God just said, get up and go. When God leads us like that, you know what we should do? We should get up and go. Because see, if you start sitting down and counting the cost and in the sense of, let me figure out the details of this new adventure of mine, before you know it, the devil has you persuaded, well, you know, you've been living here a long time. You got a lot of ties to Ur, Abraham. You know, your mama-in-law and your daddy-in-law live here. Your cousins live here. You got a business here. You got land here. What in the world are you going to have when you get to Canaan? What about the trip on the way? How in the world are you going to carry enough food to be able to make it from here to Canaan? Because this wasn't like hopping on the bus or the train and getting there in a day and a half. See, if he started talking about the details, if he started digging down into the details, before you know it, you've talked yourself out of doing what God would have you to do. Now look, I don't want to preach my experience too much here, but I can't preach your experience, so let me share a little bit of my experience. There's been many times in my life where I tried to work things out. You know, I don't like walking by faith, Brother Clinton. I like to know not just one step at a time. I like to know at least 10 steps. You know, 5 would do me sometimes, you know. God's walking by faith isn't like that. God says, get up and go, and you get up and go. And that's what Abraham did. But, you know, in my experience, coming to Zion here, you know, there were so many times when I finally realized the Lord was leading me here to this place. There were times, even in the time that I was doing that, Aunt Lorraine, that I would sit down and think, now, wait a minute, hold on. This little church, this little building over here with this one person, this maybe 2 people, I mean, I just don't see it, Lord. I don't know how, you know, I'm going to have to leave the people I was with that I love so much. I was going to have to, I didn't even have all my family on board at that time. Maybe I can just get them all on board and then we can all go. But, you know, the Lord doesn't do it that way. He didn't say, wait till everything lines up just right, Brother Chris, and then you can go join Zion Church. He said, I want you to go join Zion Church. I want you to go now. And I didn't know what the details would be. I had no idea that in just a couple of 3 years we'd have 30-something members. I had no idea. I was afraid. When I sat down and started thinking about it, I began to think, oh, Lord, what have I done? Even after I joined, there were times when I would think, man, I feel like I'm just hung out there on a limb. But the Lord, it was the Lord's limb, you see. And when it's the Lord's limb, it's all right. What do you think Abraham thought? Abraham said, I can just see him after about 2 days into the journey. Man, I hope I hadn't messed up, especially when you get to that point of no return. You know, you get there sometimes in your journey of life. You get to the point where one more step and you can't go back. I can just see Abraham. Maybe we don't read about his questions. I'm sure there were some doubts in his mind, but praise God what Abraham did. He didn't sit down and begin questioning God. He got up and he got going. He had no idea where it was, but he didn't worry about the details. He didn't worry about the changes in life. The devil is in the details. He just did what God said. And you know, if you just do what God says, you don't have to worry about the details. If he's in the matter, he will work all of that out.
Due to the constraints of time, we will stop the message here. Please join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.